Well, good morning, everyone. I hope we are all doing well today. As you may notice, as we had mentioned last week, we're trying to have everyone sit closer to the front and on both sides of the sanctuary. You may be wondering why there are a lot of empty seats today, and a lot of our college students are away this weekend for a retreat with crew, and they call it the fall getaway. So please continue to pray for them, and we hope that God is continuing to bless them and teach them as they are hearing from God's word all throughout this weekend. But nevertheless, we have our opportunity and we have our chance to worship God and hear from His word today. If you have your Bibles, please take them out and turn with me to Psalm chapter 84. If you don't know where the book of Psalms is, just take your Bible and just open it right in the middle. And chances are you will be in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. In Psalm chapter 84, this psalm is written by the sons of Korah, who were Levitical priests. And they also arranged the music to this psalm. So as we read this psalm, keep in mind that this psalm is meant to be sung as a song in a worship setting, just like how we are worshiping God right now. The title of our sermon today is called Blessed at All Times. So as I read through Psalm chapter 84, I want you to notice the three times that the psalmist mentions the people who are blessed and the reason for why they are blessed. So that word blessed comes up three times in this passage. So take a note of that as we read together. Psalm chapter 84. Please follow along as I read. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, no matter how we may be feeling on this Sunday morning, whether we feel very motivated and feel very encouraged and spiritually driven to grow closer to you, Lord. Or maybe we may just be feeling very spiritually dry. We may be feeling far away from you. Father, invite us into your presence to learn from your word. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be blessed. Teach us, Lord, how we are blessed at all times of our life, even when we may not realize it at all. Lord, we long for you, we yearn for you, as the psalmist has right. Please teach us, Lord, and we lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm sure many of you may or can think of one place that you would really, really, really want to be at right now. Right now, I know that outside it's very muggy out and it was raining earlier. So some of you may want to be in Florida. Because I hear in Florida, it's always sunny over there. And if you've seen like the commercials, it's like a bad day in Florida is pretty much a good day everywhere else. So you may want or desire to be in Florida because it's nice and sunny and warm out there. Or in other words, or in another situation, let's say that you want to be with your loved ones. Maybe you've been separated from them for a long time, whether it's a long-distance relationship, or maybe your husband is on a business trip, or maybe one of your loved ones has just passed away. You long and you desire to be with that person. Or maybe you are a college student and you're here for college and you're away from home. You long to be home with your family. Or maybe for some of us right here, you may be starting to get very tired and very sleepy because Ivan is so boring when he preaches, right? And you long to be in your bed, in the comfort of your bed to sleep. So we always sometimes have this notion or this idea that where we are right now isn't satisfying to us. We long to be in a place that will be able to satisfy, that is much better than in our situation right now. You see, the psalmist here, who wrote Psalm chapter 84, also longs and desires to be someplace. Let's read from verse 1 again. Psalmist writes, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs yet faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." So the psalmist here seems to want to desire to be in the dwelling place of the Lord. And it also mentions that he desires to be in the courts of the Lord. Now, what is the dwelling place of the Lord? What is the courts of the Lord? Is it like God has a giant basketball court that is up here in heaven somewhere? And maybe like Jesus, this is where Jesus like shoots his basketball hoops, and then Peter is also there and he denied Jesus 3 times. I'm glad you guys get that. But no, the psalmist isn't talking about longing to be in a basketball court. But rather, when he talks about the dwelling place of the Lord, when he talks about the courts of the Lord, the psalmist is talking about being in God's temple. And at this time, the temple was located in Zion, or in other words, located in Jerusalem. So let us read again. Just, I want you to picture his great desire to be in the temple of the Lord. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yet faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy." So, we have mentioned that today we are focusing on how we are blessed at all times in our life. And I said that there are 3 statements of us being blessed here. If we continue on in verse 4, it says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." So this is our first point for today. We are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. We are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. I mean, as we have read in these couple of verses, the psalmist has this great desire to be where God is dwelling. And at this time, it is in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Do we have that desire for us in our personal lives to also be in the presence of God? And at other times, he even mentions how he is actually very jealous of the birds, of the swallows and the sparrows. In verse 3, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts." These birds, the sparrows, the swallows, they make their nests at the temple of the Lord. And he is jealous of them because they can always be in the presence of the Lord. I have also had a chance where like I was jealous of someone for being in a certain situation. I was looking on Facebook a while ago. I think it was about 2 years ago. It was in December when I was back home in Boston visiting my family. And one of my favorite celebrities, his name is MC Jin. He posted a status saying, "Oh, I am at a local Starbucks at UMass Lowell in Massachusetts. If you have a chance, come by and stop by to meet me. Now, MC Jin is basically the first successful Cantonese rapper in Hong Kong. He's American born, but like he's the first Cantonese rapper to get signed. So in his early years, he rapped about dim sum, about girls, and about being an ABC. But then after a while, you should hear his testimony. He eventually became a Christian, and now he raps about God, and he puts out like albums about that. He also has an acting career. He starred in some Hong Kong dramas, as well as, I think there's a very old movie, like from 2003 or 2004, called Too Fast, Too Furious. He also starred in that too. So MC Jin was gonna be at a local Starbucks by UMass Lowell. And for whatever reason, I wasn't able to make it, and I missed my chance to meet him. I missed my chance to be in his presence, to ask him questions about his life and like everything that he had went through. And then later on, I hear that one of my friends actually did go to Starbucks and actually did get a chance to meet him. So I felt very jealous inside. So I know each of you may have your own personal celebrities who you would like to meet or like to be even in the presence of. So if we are so willing to be in the presence of our celebrity role models, then how much greater can we be to desire to be in the presence of God? Now, after all, who is God? God isn't just like a human being, isn't like a celebrity. God is the creator of the whole world, the creator of the whole universe. He knows exactly who you are because he's the one who had made you and designed you. So for a great and awesome being like God, wouldn't we also want to have the desire to be in God's presence for that? So again, I ask you all, do we desire to be in the presence of God as much and as great as how the psalmist talks about here? Our first point, we are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. Now, what does it mean to be in the presence of God? Now, to the psalmist, to be in the presence of God means to be in the temple in Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, ancient Israelites' time, God was seen as being dwelling in the local temple. But you see, like today, we don't have the temple in Jerusalem. At least the one that the psalmist is talking about doesn't exist anymore. And then in the New Testament, when we talk about being in the presence of the Lord, we're actually talking about the physical presence of Jesus as he was serving during his earthly ministry. But, you know, Jesus already died and rose from the grave, and he already ascended back into heaven. So Jesus' physical presence in his bodily human form isn't on earth anymore. So what does it mean for us today to be in the presence of God? John Piper actually describes being in the presence of God as a metaphor from two different aspects. So one aspect, being in the presence of God is basically talking about our experience of tasting, feeling, and realizing the reality of God more directly, more authentically, and more intimately, and more effectively. It is the joy of God in our lives that is more satisfying to us. So to be in the presence of God as we live our life is to see the reality of God and to experience the reality of God in our lives as something that is great and something that is real and authentic. And John Piper also says, on the other hand, being in the presence of God is also talking about when the way that God manifests himself or the way that God reveals himself to us in a fresh new way that we haven't experienced before. And John Piper quotes Psalm chapter 114, verses 7 to 8, which says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water." So this verse talks about something great, a miracle that had happened in which God manifests himself to us. And I think as we go about living our lives, as we look around, we can appreciate the creation that God had made. God reveals and manifests himself through creation. God reveals and manifests himself through his word. So being in the presence of God is also understanding and seeing how God reveals and manifests himself to us. This is what it means to be in the presence of God for us today. And like we said, it isn't that the presence of God is localized at the temple or even the church or even in the physical presence of Jesus Christ. We can be in the presence of God no matter where we are. We can be in the presence of God anytime and anywhere. Point one again. We are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. But what about those times when we don't feel like we are close to God? I know that there are many times in our life where we just don't feel close to him. We feel far away from him. So does that mean that we're not blessed? Remember, the title of this sermon is Blessed at All Times. So how are we even blessed when we don't feel close to God at all? Here is our second point. We are blessed when we are spiritually dry because we can find strength in God. We are blessed when we are spiritually dry because we can find strength in God. Let us read from verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. To the psalmist, during the ancient Israelite history at this time, remember, the manifestation of God, or the dwelling place of God, is in the temple, which is in Jerusalem. Now, not everyone lived in Jerusalem. Some people lived in other countries. Some people lived in some of the other nations that surround Jerusalem. So in order to come to the temple in Jerusalem, they needed to travel hundreds of miles and needs to go through many different terrains to get there. And in verse 6, once again, it says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Now, Baca means the balsam trees. So it's really talking about the valley of the balsam trees. And this, the psalmist uses this as an example to describe a dry spiritual state that we may go through. As I mentioned, there may be times in our life when we may feel like we're going through a spiritually dry season. We don't feel close to God. We haven't been reading the Bible. We haven't been praying to God. We're just so inundated and overcome by the stresses and the troubles of this life. And to tell you the truth, even me myself as a pastor, I can also go through spiritually dry states. This is something that is common to all men. We can always fall into that type of temptation. We can all go through these spiritually dry seasons. So even when we are going through these spiritually dry seasons, we are blessed. Remember, our second point says, we are blessed when we are spiritually dry. Why? Because we can find strength in the Lord. So it is possible to be able to get through this spiritually dry season by finding our strength in the Lord. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are at the highway to Zion. So whose heart is set on Zion, whose heart is set on Jerusalem, going towards the temple, or in application to us today, going towards the presence of God. And as we go through the valley of Baca, as we go through our spiritually dry seasons and go closer to the presence of God, we can get the strength from God. And this strength is always increasing. Verse 7, it says, they grow from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So God promises to strengthen us in our spiritually dry seasons. And we should see that as a great blessing. And even when we feel dry, we can turn that dryness into a spring. We can, and the psalmist describes it as, like in verse 6, the early rain also covers it with pools. So something that's so refreshing when before it was very dry. This is what it's like when God strengthens us in our spiritually dry seasons. So this should give us hope. So the title of the sermon once again is that we can be blessed at all times. So from point one, we said that we are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. So when we feel close to God, when we want to be with God, we are feeling blessed. But then this blessing also covers in our spiritually dry states. Point two, we are blessed when we are spiritually dry because we can find strength in God. So I think this clearly covers our whole life. The times when we are close to God, and also the times when we are spiritually dry and feeling far away from God. We can always be blessed by God. Now, in application here, in reality, all of us, or some of us may be in our spiritually dry season now. So how, practically, how do we receive this strength from God? What can I do to be able to receive this strength from God? Read from verse 9. Or read from verse 8, actually. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. So the psalmist gives us a solution when we're in our spiritually dry seasons. The psalmist gives us a solution to get strength from God. And that is through prayer to God. Prayer is communication with God. And how can you receive something from someone if you don't ask them? How do you expect to be blessed by God if we don't come before him and through prayer ask him to give us his strength? I think every day I need to pray and ask God for his strength. There's nothing that I can do apart from him, whether it is serving in church, whether it is preaching from God's word, whether it is going through many difficult things in my life. And for you, even through your studies, even as you go through work, even as you lead your family, you can't say that you're doing everything on your own. All of us need the strength of God. So as a result, all of us need to constantly and continually pray and ask God for strength. I think even when we're not in our spiritually dry seasons, this is how we ask for strength from God. So prayer actually involves a level of trust in God. I mean, we can ask God for strength, but if we don't believe that God is reliable, or if we don't trust in God, then why would you even ask for that strength in the first place? So that's why trust in God is necessary when we ask him for his strength. Which brings us to our third point. We are blessed when we trust in God. We are blessed when we trust in God. Let us read from verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. So, once again, the psalmist returns back to describing his great desire to be in the presence of God, specifically through by going to the temple. He's saying that being just even in one day of spending time in the Lord's temple is much greater than spending 1,000 days anywhere else. That's how valuable it is to be in the presence of God, and to the psalmist to be in God's presence. And he even says he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He would rather be serving God by even just standing at the edge of the temple as being much better than dwelling in the tents of the wickedness, as being living a life of wickedness. So he describes this desire again. But then continue on in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And focus here on verse 12. O Lord of hosts, Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Our third point again. We are blessed when we trust in God. The psalmist actually gives reasons for us to trust in God. So I have taught many preaching classes in the past before. And when I do, I always use this particular illustration. So let's pretend right here I have a chair that is in front of me. And then what if I were to ask you, hey, come up here, sit in the chair. Come on, sit in the chair. Why aren't you sitting in a chair? You should sit in the chair. You're still sitting there. I don't know what are you doing? Come up here and sit in the chair. But you see, like, if I keep on prodding you and poking you to go sit in the chair, you don't really want to do that. But rather, if I want you to sit in the chair, I should focus on the chair. I should talk about the chair. You see, you should sit in this chair because this chair is strong. It's reliable. It's made of good materials. No one has ever sat on it and broken it or anything. So this chair is sturdy, it's reliable, and I think you should have good enough of reason to come up and sit in the chair. So many times when you hear people preach or teach in Sunday school, people tell you, you should trust in God. Come on, what are you doing? You're not trusting in God right now. You should have faith in God. Why don't you trust in God? And they keep on telling you to do that. But the likelihood of you to be willing to trust in God just like that because someone told you isn't that great. But rather, we should be able to focus and encourage one another by reminding each other about why God is reliable, why God is trustworthy. And the psalmist here gives us reasons for why we should trust in God. Read in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun. So the psalmist is describing God like a sun because the sun is the one who gives us light. The sun is the one that gives us warmth to all who are in the presence of it. And it also says, for the Lord God is a sun and also a shield. So God is also our strength and our protector. He gives us protection, shielding us from any evil that may come upon us, shielding us from any trial or any pain or any sorrow that we may experience. God can be able to protect us. And it also says, continue on in verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if we are walking in the way of the wicked, then there won't be any blessing. But however, if we are fully obeying God and we're walking in the right direction, it promises here that God will bless us. It promises here that God won't withhold anything that is good from us. So the psalmist here gives us all these reasons for why we should trust in God. And it culminates here in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We are blessed when we trust in God. And this trust is necessary for us when we pray and ask God for our strength. So let us review everything that we have learned from this passage today. We talked about how we are blessed at all times in our life, even when we may not feel it. And we have 3 points here. The first point, we are blessed when we greatly desire to be in the presence of God. And being in the presence of God means two ways. In one way, it is our experience of the reality of God in our life, and then also the way of how God manifests himself and reveals himself to us. Point two, we are blessed when we are spiritually dry because we can find strength in God. And then finally, number three, we are blessed when we trust in God. Now, through these, I think we can understand why we are always blessed at all times in our life. And as a result, we should have a thankfulness in our heart. God isn't just dwelling in the temple. God isn't just dwelling here in church. God isn't limited to any localized place. God is always with us. So that should also be a blessing to us as well. When we are spiritually dry, when we feel far away from him, God is always right there, and we can be able to come right back to him and confess and repent of our sins. Maybe for some of us, we may feel spiritually dry. And as we close in prayer, I invite you to also silently pray to God. Ask Him to strengthen you. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you for why you should start to trust in Him again. We can't live through this life going through it without God. And for those that that try to do so, will fail. And for those who try to do so, will feel unsatisfied and will always try to look for something else to fill that void that's inside them. But we have a Savior. We have a God that truly and fully loves us. Isn't that a great thing? Shouldn't we always desire to be in the presence of God? And this is why we are blessed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you very thankful in our hearts for this message that you have given us about how we are always blessed even when we don't feel like it. We are blessed when we feel close to you and we have this great desire to be in your presence. And also we are blessed when we are in our spiritually dry seasons because you provide us the opportunity to give us your strength. And in order to ask for your strength prayer, we need to trust in you. Father, forgive us for when we may have turned away from you. Forgive us when we try to look for other things to try to fill the void that's inside of us. Help us to see and realize that you are the one true God who we can completely trust in. Lord, help us to surrender our whole life to you. And as we look around in our life and as we see people who are hurting, even other church members who may be feeling discouraged, feeling depressed, feeling very burdened, help us to also reach out to them, encourage them, and point them towards you. And for those of us who may be here in church and we may not be a believer, we may not know whether God exists or not know about whether we should believe in Jesus Christ. Help us to also reach to them as well with the gospel and with the good news. Lord, you are our rock, you are our shield, and you are the creator of the whole earth. And we love you and thank you. We lift these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.